Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Song of Solomon, chapter 5, we were talking about how amazing it is that even with all of our sin, Christ died for us. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we find out that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. This was God who took on flesh 2,000 years ago. But sometimes we forget. We don't think of this. In Christ Jesus, we are joint heirs with Christ. Christ not only became a man for us, but for us to be an everlasting joint heir, he had to have an everlasting human body. Therefore, he is forever human within that body. And that is our guarantee of eternal life. But we know he loves us. We know of his promise for all eternity. There are today what is called gold diggers who hunt the rich man, selling all moral sense in order to obtain that style of life. But the relationship with God is built on love. He first loved us. I find one of the most profound statements in scriptures are found in Romans 5:8, where it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners." Now understand, sin is a thing God hates above all that's totally repulsive to him. All sin. But we see his love. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are, that is, the profoundness is this, Christ died for us. That's profound. Christ died for us. He sees our heart. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, shows the great grace that he has for us. For there we read, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness." All those things that we have hid in the back and dark spots of our life, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. All those things that we've never really said, but it was truly in our heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. We will know at that time, beyond all shadow of the doubt, that we are in eternity in heaven only by his grace. You see, those hidden things that no one knew, the counsels of the heart that not even your mate know, when those things are revealed of each person, then it will show all of that is under the blood, paid for in full, and we will recognize more than ever that we did deserve to go to hell. But he saved us by his grace and not our merit. With his promises, then, we have peace because we can trust his word. As our beloved, we have personal and intimate relationship with God. Now, by the way, I just want to insert this here because it's, to me, it's a disturbing thing. Don't let any preacher to downgrade what we're studying in Song of Solomon by using sexual terminology for it. I've heard people say it's having sex with God, and to me, that degrades the holiness of God, and it tells me they do not understand at all what it is to walk in the Spirit. Steer clear of that filthy mind. Now let's go on. Now we think of this. Before the fall, Adam and Eve are man and wife. It didn't happen after the fall, it happened before the fall. He also called Israel his wife. He calls the local church his bride, all those that are saved. When we are raptured and we see all the saints of ages past, what are we going to attend? The marriage feast of the Lamb. That is why God uses marriage throughout the scriptures to show the relationship the believer has with him. It is that type of a commitment. Christ has that type of commitment for you, and it's the type of commitment we're to have for him. How would you feel if Christ had the commitment to you? No greater than the commitment you have to him. And so as we go on looking at verse 16, it says that he feedeth among the lilies. Now we think of the lilies, white, standing above the ground, with the glistering of the dew upon it. And the lily is often used to imply purity in the scriptures. And I think it's important that you understand that the lily is used to imply purity in the scriptures. He doesn't feed by eating the lilies. Rather, he feedeth among the lilies. So we see Jesus. He came and lived the perfect life without spot, without sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. He fulfilled all the law. He paid the price for our sins on the cross, shedding his blood and dying for us. He was buried. And 3 days later, he physically, bodily, rose up from the dead. Now he's in heaven, preparing the home for us. Through salvation, we are betrothed to him, as in the Bible days analogy. And so we have that we are in him, that we are as the bride of Christ. Now, let me just review what that means when we say that we are betrothed unto him. In the Bible days, when there was a transaction made, it was for a husband for a wife. Sometimes it was the father that would send out, and he would make a deal with the father of the bride. And today, the one who took control of this world, the God of this world, the father of lies, is Satan. So Satan gained this headship through the fall of Adam. That's why when Jesus was on earth and he showed Christ all the kingdoms of the earth and said, I'd give them all to you if you'll bow down and worship me. And Satan added, because that is given unto me. And that was true. It was given unto him because of Adam's fall, and he had obtained it that way. And yet Christ shows that the power of God is greater than the authority of Satan. So when they would make these things about, and they would deal for a bride, and of course in the Bible days it might be 3 camels and 10 sheep if she was really a good looker, and so they would offer that for the bride. And at that point when it was decided and it was agreed upon, then they were considered betrothed one to another. Now, they didn't just move in to live with one another at that moment. Although, to break the betrothal, one would go through a divorce. We see that when Joseph was thinking about putting away Mary when she was with child, and he thought that she had been unfaithful. And so we see this coming here with Jesus showing us the betrothal. He already paid the price to have us in shedding his blood. That was the cost of what it would be to have us to die on the cross as a perfect sacrifice and to apply his blood at the holiest place in heaven. Well, usually what happened is the groom would go back to his house, to his father's house, and he would begin to build a room onto the house. And he would work preparing that room. And that room that was added to the father's house was called a mansion. And it would be prepared, and then usually at the end, at an agreed time, it might be a year, might be longer, might be shorter, the groom would come with his wedding party and would go to the bride's house, but would not go in, but instead he would stand outside and call to her, and she would answer and come out and meet him, and then off they would go back to the groom's house for the marriage to be consummated. And there at the house, they would have a great marriage feast. And that marriage feast would go on 6-7 days or longer. Usually, it would be a week. But at the end of each evening, the groom with his new bride would retire to that room, the mansion, their honeymoon suite. And when we look at Jesus Christ, he's gone to prepare a place for us. As he says in John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, he's going to come. He's not going to touch on earth when he first comes. He's just going to call us up in the clouds, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But when we get to heaven, while the earth is going through tribulation, we will have the judgment seat of Christ followed by the great marriage feast of the Lamb. And I won't go into the judgment seat of Christ, but, you know, the judgment seat there is from the Greek word bema, which means rewarding stand. And, oh, I wonder if rewards that we've received for the Christian life on earth will be used to help decorate that new mansion with which you'll have in that great heavenly city that descends from God out of heaven. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.